This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 32. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 32. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 32 reads this way. It says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, asking for your blessing, and then Lord, also being reminded of the truth, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. We thank you for your presence this morning, and we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and truth. We ask that you meet each need, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning simply is, "This is a great mystery." This is a great mystery. And basically, a mystery is something that has been hidden in the Lord that he desires to reveal. It is a mystery that has been hidden, but that God wants to give you and I understanding to this mystery, this revelation that will revolutionize our lives. That's the purpose of a revelation, is to revolutionize or change our life for the honor and the glory of God. Now, let me ask you this, first of all, is the Word of God true?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
For all time, it is established and settled, amen?
Amen?
In heaven and in earth and for all eternity. We thank the Lord for that. And how do you know that? Well, if you're a saved child of God, God reveals that through salvation. God confirms that as we walk with him, he begins to reveal more. So let me ask you this. The disciples, when they were with the Lord during the Lord's earthly ministry, did they understand more or less after the resurrection? They understood more. The Lord was right there with them, explaining things and teaching things, but after the resurrection, why? Because that was the will and the purpose of God. He was preparing them to bring them to another place in their relationship with him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is wanting to bring you and I to a place that he has prepared for us, not just in eternity, but right here on earth in our relationship with him. So this morning, if you're open to that idea, see, you know, I have the privilege of sharing the Word of God. It's my privilege. It's God's calling on my life. But here's the thing. I cannot persuade you one bit. I can proclaim the Word of God, but it must be the Holy Spirit inside of you that will compel you to walk with the Lord. If you're a saved child of God, it must be the Holy Spirit who convicts. Amen? By the preaching of the Word of God, to bring the sinner to the understanding of his great need. Now, if you don't have a great need this morning, then you're probably going to receive, as the Lord said, so be it according to your faith. Amen? If you don't have any faith in the Lord, you probably aren't going to receive anything at all. But I do want you to know this, the Word of God never returns void. And so you have an opportunity here to understand this truth, and that is that we don't know everything. Even though we may have heard some things in the Word of God, how many times have you gone to a familiar portion of Scripture and God lift up a new truth for you? Amen? And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, because God has caused events and things to take place in your life to bring you to the place to where he's ready to reveal this new truth to you. And so the Word of God is infinite. This is not just a textbook, amen? It is the Word of God that is quick, it's alive, and it's still doing its work today. If we can receive that, God says, I've got things for you to understand and things to reveal to you, believe it or not, even this morning right here in this service. So three thoughts, really. And then a conclusion here, but Christ, what we want to see concerning this great mystery is Christ's love for the church. Now, the church is not these windows and these walls. The church are the believers inside the building. Amen? And then we have Christ's work in the church. This is a great mystery, and that is the work of Christ in the local New Testament church. And then thirdly, we have another mystery, and that is Christ and the church. You're going to see that here in just a moment. And then God's mysteries revealed to the believer. And by the way, you have the potential. God wants to give you and I a revelation if we're ready to receive it, right? Many times the disciples walked with the Lord, and the Lord told them different things, but they just weren't ready to receive it until after the resurrection. And so that's really kind of sometimes the way things are, but it's not that God is not trying to say something to us. Let me show you something very quickly by way of introduction, just so that we can understand this. You're right there in the book of Ephesians. Go to chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 9. And notice this, again, definition of this mystery. Ephesians 1:9 says this, having made known unto us the what? Mystery of his will. That's a revelation, isn't it? He has made it known unto us, this mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed where? In himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's important. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. It appears to be that God is making a lot about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Okay, so notice verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, this inheritance, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He doesn't need anybody else's advice. From eternity past, before you and I were ever created, or before Adam and Eve were ever created, all the way back in eternity past, this was God's predetermined will that he was going to accomplish, believe it or not, in all those who would receive him. Okay, so this is God's will. That, notice verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in who? Listen to this, listen. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Who's going to be the praise of his glory? You and I. You and I are going to be the praise of his glory. Now, does God make junk? Let me try that again. Does God make junk?
No.
No. We might feel junky at times, but God doesn't create anything that is junky. In fact, how do I know that? Because he gave us his son. He paid the greatest price for your not only your eternal life in heaven, but your eternal life even here on earth. God, listen, God came not to, did God come to give you death or to give you life? Does that mean, is that life just in eternity? Or does that life of Christ begin on this side? Listen, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, and it's in us. In earthen vessels, God has placed the Lord, the Spirit of God has been indwelt inside the believer that we might be the witnesses of God. Now, you might say, well, Brother George, you don't know my life. It doesn't really glorify the Lord a whole lot. Well, you know, Peter could have said the same thing, too. And Thomas could have said the same thing, too, when he doubted. And remember what he said? I think it went down like this. I think the disciples went over and they said, oh, Thomas, you should have been there. Right? Some are of the opinion, na-na-na-na-na, Thomas, you weren't there and look what we got. No. I think they said, oh, Thomas. See, when a child of God receives a revelation of God, they are humbled. Amen. You know what we say? This is the tendency of a child of God, but Lord, who am I? But Lord, who am I? And you've revealed this to me. And so the believer desires the whole world to know. Amen? Now, the world doesn't receive it like that. And Brother Roger and I were talking about, and this is, I think is true, you'd probably agree with me, the hardest people to witness are your family. Because they know you. Well, they know the old you. They don't understand the new you in the Lord Jesus Christ, where our sins have been cleansed. But let me ask you a question. Shall we look to what we used to be and maybe our failures today and negate the glory of God and the blessings of God in our lives? Shall we just throw those things away because we see our failures? Wait a minute, I want you to know this, that God saved you even knowing your failures. And he says, listen, I want to show you something that will draw you closer and give you a revelation of my glory and my grace in your life. So God wants to do a work in your life and mine, and he's wanting to reveal that. It's a mystery that's been hidden with the Lord, but he's wanting to reveal it at this time. Let me show you something else. You're right there in the book of Ephesians. Go over to chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the what? Isn't that amazing? God is in the business of revealing something to you and I that was hidden. And so he's wanting to do this work. Notice this. He says, as I wrote afore in few words, I told you a little bit about it. Now I want to expound even more. Whereby, listen, when you read, you may what? But wait a minute, it gets better. Paul's speaking here. When you read, you may understand my knowledge. Was Paul mightily used of the Lord by the grace of God? He would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Didn't he say that? And so he's saying, I want you to understand the grace God has given to me. Now, let me ask you this. Do you want to understand the grace that God gave to Paul? Because we think it's all Paul. And Paul would be the first one to tell you, man, I am nothing. It is God who has changed my direction. It is God who has made known unto me, revealed unto me, the hope of eternal life, not only to come, but on this side of eternity as well. So verse 4, he says, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Did you hear that? In the mystery of Christ. Now, a sure way not to get it is saying, I've heard it before. I've read that before. Well, but has it changed your life? Has it empowered your life with the grace of God? Has God given you his mercy and his grace day by day that changes your life? So listen, we've been given a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, if you had $15 in your pocket, that doesn't buy a whole lot anymore. Maybe a Happy Meal at McDonald's, I don't know. But you might walk along and skip along and maybe, you know, pocket your, you know, put your hand in your pocket. Oh, yeah, $15, walk along. But what if you had $30,000 in your pocket? I don't know if it'd have to be platinum or some kind of a bond or something, but would you walk a little bit more carefully? Would you walk a little bit more... Listen, you wouldn't be just so flippant about where you went. In fact, you might want to make sure that you don't go into some area that might cause you harm or cause you to lose that. When we are aware, as only God can make us aware, of the treasure that he has placed in us to carry around, to be used to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we'll be a little bit more careful about where we go and how we speak, because we begin to realize that we are ambassadors, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider this as we look to this portion of Scripture. Look at verse 9 right there in chapter 3. And to make all men see, listen to this, what is the fellowship of the what? Mystery. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Just in case you wonder who the creator was. Then God said, right, let us make man in our image. That's the triune God there. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? Who's the church again? Listen. Listen to that verse again, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Is that present tense or future tense? It's right now. It's right now. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So where's the eternal purpose at? In Christ Jesus our Lord. That this is important. Listen, because if we're not careful, here's what we think. I love the Lord because he saved me. Is that true? I love the Lord because he first loved me. Praise God. I love the Lord. I'm not trying to trick you. I love the Lord because he first loved me. He gave his life for me. And so because the Lord gave his life for me, and I understand that now because I'm saved, bless God, I'm going to live for him. Bless God, I'm going to serve him. And God says, that's exactly what I don't want you to do. Because God is wanting to live through us. God, not us, live for him. God, who indwelt us with his Holy Spirit, is wanting to live through us. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to live for the Lord and failed? More than we want to admit. Amen? More than we want to admit. The failure comes because we're trying to do it for God. And God is saying, oh no, I'm going to do it for you. See, you're my child. I'm your Savior. I've put the treasure in you. Amen? It's time to use the treasure, not the outside of the treasure, not the body, but the spirit that has indwelt the body of the believer. So again, fathom, look back at verse 10 here. It says, to the intent that now, that's right now, presently, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sounds like success to me. It's purposed not in your effort or mine, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Sounds like it's all God's work, doesn't it? And here's what we do, what Peter does. Oh, and we think pretty good of ourselves. Oh, I love the Lord, and I believe Peter did too, don't you? But then he did this. Oh, Lord, 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 I want you to know something. These might forsake you, not me. All these are going to, oh, but Lord, look right here. Look right here. And what did he do? Right on his face. Amen? Right on his face. And do you know what? You and I will do the same thing. We'll do the exact same thing. All right, so let's look at our text here. You're right there in the book of Ephesians. Let's learn something exciting that God wants us to see. And I want you to see Christ's love for the church. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's powerful. Jesus Christ gave himself for the souls of mankind, absolutely. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And Paul is saying, I want you to understand something here. I want you, as you subjugate yourself, as you submit yourselves and trust the Lord, that's what it takes place. You know, I don't think men really realize what a woman is doing when she is marrying her husband, according to the Word of God. In other words, I am willing, I am trusting you to lead me. That's the way God intended it. Now, I know today might be a little bit different, but I'm going to trust that you are going to be my protector, that you are going to be my provider, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it's a joint union there, okay? But the woman is saying, I'm going to take your name. Maybe they don't do that anymore. But I'm going to take your name. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to submit myself to you. And so the Lord is wanting us to understand that he loved the church. And any husband worth their salt is going to make sure that their wives and that their families are provided for. But that's just a small picture. Listen, I would dare say that a husband ought to be willing to lay down his life for the well-being of his spouse and also for his children. So he says, verse 24, therefore the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Listen to this in verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now this is an important truth, because this is the love of Christ. Listen, this is the love of Christ for the church. Now, I want you to just fathom this thought. I brought this out Wednesday just briefly. Do you remember in John chapter 15, the Lord spoke to his disciples and said, I am the vine and you are the what? You are the branches. The branch can't bear fruit of itself, but he says, if you're in me, because you can't do anything without me, but if you're in me, you're going to bear fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit, if you're in me. Now, do we realize the vulnerability that Christ put himself in? He didn't say the vine was going to bear fruit. He said the branches, you and I, are going to be the fruit bearers. That's going to glorify his name. You got to get that. God didn't say, I'm going to do it without you. God said, I'm going to do it with you and through you, and that's my way. Amen. That's what he said. I don't understand that. God's purpose is to bear fruit in your life and mine. That's God's purpose. Whether we understand it or not, it doesn't change the fact. That is the truth. So listen, and by the way, if God is going to do it in your life and mine, whose work is it? Then we need to stop trying to do it for him. Because if we do, listen, he loves you and me like we don't understand. But he'll not share his glory, not even with you. He'll not share his glory, even with you. Because listen, if we help God a little bit, then we can take a little glory, can't we? Look what I did for you, God. How do you like that? And God says, none of it. Because a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. But God says, I'm going to give you something like eternal life. And I'm going to give you my life that's going to produce my fruit, that's going to glorify my name. I'm going to do it through you, but you've got to be connected and you've got to be dependent on me and not yourself. Do you know that's a long way to go in the human thinking? Peter had a hard time with that. I bring Peter up because he's the one that after 3.5 years walking with the Lord said, oh Lord, these guys are going to forsake you, but not me. Not me. Why did the Lord allow him to fall flat on his face? Because there was too much me in there and not enough God. How much of God needs to be there? All. All of God. All right? So this is Christ's love for the church. His intention was that the church might glorify himself. Now, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ loved the church in verse 25 and gave himself for it? The book of Acts chapter 20, I think verse 21 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave his blood for the church. So when he died on the cross, he was not just buying your eternal life, but he gave his blood for his bride. That's the church. Now, I do want to say something here very importantly. The church means nothing to the unbeliever, but it needs to be everything to the believer. In other words, you cannot get into the church without salvation. It begins there. Going to a place in time where God himself convicted you of your sin and you realize that he took your place and to however, there's no set way, but uniquely to you, letting you know that he's your Savior and that you put your faith and trust in him. It is different for everybody, but it's all the same way and yet it's different. Just like you have all your children or all your grandchildren, you can't say I love one more than the other, but they're all different, aren't they? Okay, so here's the truth. God gave himself and his blood for the church, but salvation is prerequisite to enter into that relationship. So for the saved child of God, they need to understand the significance of the church and the love of Christ for the church. Because the Bible is telling us here, and it's important because that's part of being the branch in the vine. Now listen, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, and here's the work of Christ in the church, or Christ's work in the church in verse 26, that he might, Who's he? Let me try that again. Who's he? Jesus. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Who's doing the work? Christ, not us. This is a mystery that will set us free to enjoy to a greater degree the eternal life that God has given to us. That he might, see, I got to sanctify myself. You got it wrong. We got it wrong. I've tried that. It didn't go well. It didn't. But I understand by the word of God that when he does it, the burden's light. The yoke is easy. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, do you believe that this morning? If you don't believe it, you're not going to get very far. Now, tell me who's doing the work in verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a failing church, a miserable, wretched, undone, uncleansed, disgusting, vile church. Failed church. Is that what your Bible says? No. That he might present it to himself, what?
Glorious.
A glorious church. This is God's mystery. This is God's work in the church. He is want. Listen, God, the righteousness of Christ did not save us to make us miserable failures or to leave us a wretch, but that he might do a work. That switch has got to flip from us to him. Or listen, we can never expect it to take place. And we'll never experience what God has called us to experience. And that is to be a branch in the vine that bears much fruit and glorifies the Lord. Could it be that we've missed something? I think so. Amen? Did Peter miss something? Yeah. If Peter can miss it. Did Paul miss something as he persecuted the church? He did, didn't he? Yeah, and he was born in the right faith. He was underneath the right teaching and the preaching. You know what that tells me today? You can also be brought up in the right teaching and preaching and miss what God's trying to say. So notice this, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Listen to this. Not having spot or wrinkle in any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You and I have been purposed to walk that way. By our effort or God's work? I'll try that again. By our effort or God's work? Got to see it. Now watch this. So when we see this here, we find Christ's love for the church, Christ's work in the church, and then Christ in the church. Now watch this. Listen. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. This is God's idea of a marriage, all right? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the what? God is in a nourishing business in your life and mine. Now watch this. He says this in verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's pretty intimate, wouldn't you say? Listen, in this case, you have the scripture defining Genesis chapter 2 when it talks about the woman, Eve. This is the best commentary on the Bible, and that is, of course, the Bible here. So notice this right here. Verse 31, for this cause, for what cause? To understand, the unity of a man and a woman, but a greater mystery, a greater truth is the bride of Christ and his relationship with the Lord. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Listen, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning what? Christ in the church. Christ in the church. So the Lord is saying, I want you to see the unity, and I want you to see the mystery that God is revealing to you and I so that we can be a church a body of believers that glorifies the Lord. It doesn't walk in the flesh, but that walks in the Spirit of God. So this is really God. His mysteries are revealed right here. He's wanting us to understand that. So listen, let me ask you this. Let's do one thing here, and we're going to conclude here. Go back over to the book of Galatians. You're right there in Ephesians, just a book previous to this. And we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit just for a moment. And I just want to share some of the fruits with you, okay? Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? And I think we like to equate long-suffering with patience. Do you see those fruits of the Spirit there? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How many of you had the idea of praying for patience or long-suffering before? How about has it ever, Lord, I need more peace. Lord, I need more goodness. Lord, I need more faith. Lord, I need more meekness and temperance. I'm looking after these things, and I'm going after these things for your honor and glory. Do you know that we got it all wrong when we do it that way? Because we don't need these things. What we need is Jesus Christ. Because we get the full package. God is not in the business of piecemealing the Spirit of God to us. In fact, He's already given it to us, hasn't He? Has he how much of the Spirit has He given to you? Not just 10% right now? And 90% later? He's given all. He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you how God sees this. Ready? Galatians, I want you to see this, chapter 5, verse 22. The first three words, does it say, but the fruits of the Spirit? Isn't that amazing? He put all that fruit in one. What is that one? The Holy Spirit. Listen, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Oh, it's not your fruit? No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's what's happened. Now, we haven't done that, and yet it's God's work in us. So the part of our participation is just yielding to the Lord and asking Him to do it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Verse 25. Walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, because He's going to produce this. Now, one last thought, and we're going to be finished. Let me show you something here in the book of 1 John. Go over there, 1 John. Chapter 5, I want you to see this. Now, if you're here and you're saved, would you say amen? Amen. You know the Lord beyond the shadow of a doubt. All right. This is a revelation that God wants us to understand. If you're saved, then you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And the potential of God, all that you don't need to pray for another blessing. You just need to pray for the release of the Spirit that's already in you. You just need to pray that the Spirit might have His will and His way in your life and mine. Now watch what I'm just telling you, what the Word of God says. I'm just going to read this to you. So here in 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11. And notice this. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life. Now listen, eternal life, what does that mean? Does that just mean a home in heaven? Or has He given to us eternal life and the fruit of the indwelling of the Spirit to empower our lives? That's all together. Eternal life is wrapped up in not only the forgiveness of our sins, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that empowers our lives to be the branches in the vine that bears the fruit of God to His honor and glory. Is that the truth? So if you've got the Son and the Son has a hold of you and he's doing his work in you, the fruit's going to be born. But it is possible for you to have the Son as Peter did, but did not have the power. Now, it was in him. The potential was there, but he was dealing with himself still. The same thing will happen in our lives. As long as we're looking to ourselves and what we can do for God, we will never see what God can do for us. Let me say that again. As long as we're dependent upon what we're going to do for God, we will never, because we're coming to God with us in our hands instead of empty-handed so God can fill it. We're already got our cup filled with ourselves. And so as long as self is on the throne, there's no room for God. But I want you to know what we have. God wants us to know what we have in him. Ready? Verse 11 again. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and that, listen, and this life is not in our effort, but in his Son. He that hath the Son, and by the way, this was written to believers. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He's talking to believers. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And we have confidence in him. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying we're just in the same boat with Peter. And that is simply that if the life of Christ is not in us, we don't have the Son. I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about the life of the eternal life that has been given to us. We're not resting in that. Here's what we're doing. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Better yet, don't give me patience, Lord. Oh, my goodness. I don't need, my goodness. You know, if I ask God for patience, he's going to throw a boulder on top of my head. Because that's the kind of God we serve, right? No, it isn't. It isn't. See, that's our thinking. Oh, boy, if you ask God for this, ask God for that. Boy, are you going to be in for it? Boy, that just tells me we don't know a whole lot about our God. Because if he freely gave us his Son, will he not also freely give us all good things? Does God not work out most things for our good? How many things? 10%? Oh, all things for our good. All things for our good. This morning, this is a great mystery. Listen, that God has revealed so that you and I can walk in victory. By our strength or his? By our might or his? By our spirit or his? Wow. God says, let me live through you. The invitation is the Lord's. The choice and the opportunity is ours. Would you stand, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the truths that you've revealed to your church, to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rest and to walk in your grace that you've already given to us, that we would not try to serve you in our strength, but yours. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they also realize that you've done all the work. You've paid the price on Calvary's cross. You've shed your blood, the payment for our sins, that we might be given your righteousness. Lord, we can't stand before you in our good deeds, because even our good deeds, as the Bible tells us, are as filthy rags. But you've died in our place to give us eternal life. And Lord, again, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, may they rest in the grace that you've provided for in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the invitation, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.